Hi, my name is Reuben Porter. I'm the lead pastor here at Crossroads Church, and it's great to have you on our podcast today. We hope this message encourages you, builds you up in your faith, and ultimately brings you closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
And as I said earlier, that's what we're thinking about a lot in 2024, right? What is your next step? That in your journey of faith, you would consider what is your next individual step in that. And maybe it's to step into becoming a follower of Jesus, or maybe it's to take a step that helps you grow as a follower of Jesus. And that could come in many different forms. It could be to intentionally build relationships with your neighbors. It could be to get involved in serving in a ministry. It could be to mentor someone. It could be responding to a calling into missions. It could be to be more generous. It could be taking the step of baptism that we've just seen this morning. We're not going to empty the pool until tomorrow. So if you think, hey, yep, that's for me, come and chat to us after the service. You can come back tonight and we'll do it and we'll make it happen. It could be a whole bunch of different things, right? As to what that step looks like when you take it. But whatever it is, we're all thinking about what step we can take this year. And if I'm totally honest, though I'm one of the ones heavily promoting taking a step, I'm still not entirely sure what mine is. My wife and I have been making the intentional effort of getting to know our neighbors this year, which has been really cool. So if I wanted to label a step that I've chosen to take, that would be it. And I do feel a sense of conviction from God that I need to be doing that. And that would be like a practical step that I can define, that I can say, yeah, that's what I'm doing this year, that's what I've chosen. But I feel like there's something else that God has been stirring within me this year that I'm not quite sure what it is yet, but it feels like it is leading to a step. I don't know where it's going to go, I don't know what it's going to be, I can't quite entirely put my finger on it, but God has been stirring something within me that maybe is related to me getting to know my neighbors, but maybe not quite, I'm not totally sure. But I'd like to try to share with you what I think it might be at this moment, even though I don't totally know what it is, because it could help illustrate what we're going to talk about this morning and what we're going to be talking about through this series. You see, through getting to know my neighbors and other people in my local community, as well as leading Alpha and listening to and reading different teachings on the way we live out our Christian faith, I'm coming to find that I have what I would describe as a passion for people finding themselves in places of doubt, people with big questions about faith, about how we live as Christians, people looking for evidence of God. I guess it's people where like blind faith isn't gonna cut it. The skeptics, the doubters, those who don't fit the mold, see themselves on the edge, the reconstructors. What I'm finding is that when I'm in conversations with people in those spaces, man, it feels like God has made me for those moments. Feels like he's made me for those moments. And I'm finding myself in those conversations more and more without even looking for them. And strangely, it's through journeying through those places with people that I often feel my faith is at its strongest, where I feel the closest to God. And it's not because I'm like, well, you've got doubts and I've got answers, and so I feel close to God and good about myself because I've just blasted you with the truth and made myself feel good about my faith. It's not that at all. It's because those conversations feel so real, they feel so genuine, they feel so raw, so honest. It's challenging to have to face the immense challenges and complexities of life through the lens of faith. But when you wrestle with those things and you come out on the other side with faith, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. And so I'm just loving sitting in the trenches with people as they work through those things, but also be challenged by those things myself, and hopefully together work towards an understanding that allows us to move forward with our faith. Does that make sense? Sorry if it doesn't, and I don't exactly know what that's going to lead to or what that all means, but that's what God has been stirring within me, which I feel like is leading to a step that I'm going to take. And the reason I share that is because what I've been wondering as I'm thinking these things through is that, is this an area that God has gifted me in? You know, I'd never really thought about it before, despite the fact that I've sort of leaned into these areas for a long time. But this heart that I have for the doubting or those on the edge or the deconstructors, the reconstructors, those who don't fit the mold, is that a calling? Is that a gift? What is that? What is that? And at this point, I don't totally know. I'm not sure. You know, even as somebody who's been all in for Jesus for well over a decade, and even as somebody who's in church leadership, I still find myself not always sure of what my giftings are and what they aren't, or what is a gift and what isn't. There are some things that I'm like, yeah, at this point in my journey with Jesus, I'm pretty sure that's a gift. I'm pretty sure God has gifted me in that. But even, you know, as a grown man with a family and leadership responsibilities, I'm still working a lot of that out. Still trying to figure a lot of that out. And maybe also for you, when you consider topics like how God has gifted you, maybe you are uncertain as to what that looks like or what that even means. And that's okay. That's okay, but maybe that could change. Maybe if over the next 8 weeks we spent some time looking at what it means to be gifted by God, you and I could walk away with a little more clarity on what that means and what that could look like in your own life. Because throughout the New Testament, there are passages that speak of this idea that as followers of Jesus, God gives us what are known as spiritual gifts, abilities, talents, and skills that we can use to glorify God, unify the church, and help us share the good news of Jesus. And if we took some time to look at those passages, we're likely to walk away with a better understanding of what spiritual gifts are, what they're for, how we use them, and maybe even some of what yours might be. And so that's what this new series is all about. At Crossroads, we recognize that God has blessed the church with spiritual gifts. And so we want to help build your confidence in the ways God has gifted you, empowering you to step boldly into whatever God has for you next with the gifts that he has given you. But we also recognize that spiritual gifts are a controversial topic. Though spiritual gifts are talked about throughout the New Testament, they have been a heavily debated topic throughout church history, often playing a prominent role in what differs in the beliefs of different Christian denominations. We also acknowledge that within our church community here at Crossroads, there will be a spectrum of beliefs on the functions of spiritual gifts, as well as your experiences of spiritual gifts, both in powerful ways, but also sometimes maybe their misuse. Spiritual gifts are an incredible gift to the church, but need to be talked about with sensitivity and humility. And so it's important for us to recognize that spiritual gifts are what we call a secondary theological issue. That if our beliefs differ on them, that shouldn't be enough to stop us from being unified with one another. So the aim of the series is not to draw such a hard line in the sand that if you have differing views on what we teach, that you would not feel welcome in this church community, because you are so welcome here. And please hear that. If what we teach in this series is different to what you believe, please don't think that we are saying you aren't welcome, because you are. We're just doing the best we can to make sense of what the Bible has to say on these matters that are often interpreted in different ways by faithful followers of Jesus. We hope that this series will be beneficial as we think about what our next step might be. But ultimately, this series is secondary in its theological importance. So with that in mind, let's dive in and see what the scripture has to say about spiritual gifts. And to do this series justice, we've made sure to cover pretty much every scripture in the New Testament that talks about spiritual gifts, unless we've already covered it this year, like in Ephesians 4. That way we can't pick and choose what we like, creating a series that fits our beliefs, but rather being shaped by everything the Bible has to say on the matter. The exciting, the encouraging, the confusing, and the controversial. We're going to cover it all. We're going to talk about it all. And this morning, we're going to start where the Apostle Paul starts in 1 Corinthians, where we'll spend a lot of our time in this series. You see, the church in Corinth had really been struggling. It was really struggling. There had been false teaching, inappropriate sexual behavior, relationship breakdown, the idolization of certain individuals, confusion over pagan rituals, messy worship gatherings, and a lack of love. The church in Corinth was really hanging on by a thread. And so Paul, he writes this corrective letter to the Corinthian church to try to help get them heading in the right direction again. And amongst it, he addresses their confusion around spiritual gifts. So if you've got questions about spiritual gifts, if you're confused about spiritual gifts, don't worry. So were the Corinthians. And so Paul lays it all out for us in 1 Corinthians, explaining to us what they are, what they're for, and that sort of thing. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. You're welcome to follow along in your Bible or on your phone, but the verses will also be on the screen. And this is what Paul has to say. He says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, You were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now, just like Paul starts by saying he doesn't want the Corinthians to be misinformed, I neither want that for you. And so I think as we dive into this passage, there's something important to clarify, just some housekeeping to make sure we set the correct expectations. Maybe you've come today and you're a little nervous about this series and are thinking, oh man, are the leadership trying to push into things that I don't think we should be pushing into? Or maybe you've come today and you're excited because you've come from a more Pentecostal background and you're thinking, finally, Crossroads is going to look more like that. But it's important for you to know, no matter where you sit on the spectrum of beliefs of spiritual gifts, we have no preconceived outcome that we're aiming for out of this series, other than we want to help grow your confidence in the gifts God has given you, and that Crossroads will look more and more like the church God desires to be as a result. We did not gather together while putting together the series and say, well, you know, we want to see more of this at Crossroads, or we want to see less of that, and so we're going to use the series as a vehicle to get us to that point. That's not the purpose of the series, and it's not what's going on. And so if you have any preconceived ideas of what the series is going to mean for Crossroads or what is going to happen as a result, please let them go. Please let them go, or you might be disappointed. But you won't be disappointed if you replace those preconceived ideas with a desire to simply see our church grow in confidence in the spiritual gifts that God has given us, and that as a result, our church would look more and more like the church God desires. Not what we desire, but what God desires. That's what the series is about, and nothing else. Not to become a Pentecostal church and not to kick back into unnecessary Christian conservatism, that's not it. Will this series challenge us? Probably. Will some things need to be different as a result? Only God knows, but we leave that in His hands. We trust Him with that. But whatever that looks like, we don't have to be afraid of looking at topics like spiritual gifts, because right off the bat, Paul gives us some ways that we can be confident in the use of spiritual gifts. He says, right, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. You know, right from the start, one thing we can know is that no one using spiritual gifts can be in opposition to Jesus. If someone starts saying or suggesting things that contradict Jesus being the Son of God and being our Savior, and say they use the guise of receiving a prophetic word from God to communicate that, or they were reading God's word and that's what they found, or they use some other sort of spiritual way that they came to that conclusion, we can say, sorry, I believe in spiritual gifts, but this is not them. This is not them, because these two things are not compatible. And as we make our way through the next few chapters of 1 Corinthians over the next few weeks, Paul is going to give us further parameters to help us identify the appropriate use of spiritual gifts. But right from the start, we can be confident that if someone isn't willing to say that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, then we can ignore anything else they proclaim to do in the name of Jesus, because those two things are not compatible. Jesus' death and resurrection is the source of our ability to receive spiritual gifts. Without His forgiveness, we couldn't have a personal relationship with God. And without a personal relationship with God, we wouldn't be able to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit who gives us our gifts. And the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us could come in a lot of different forms. Paul lists a bunch of them for us here, right? He says wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing. the ability to do miracles, prophecy, spiritual discernment, speaking in other languages, and interpreting other languages. Now, personally, I don't believe that this list is a comprehensive list of all the gifts that we can have, as other gifts are mentioned in other parts of the New Testament, such as in 1 Peter 4 or Ephesians 4, that aren't mentioned here and vice versa. So I think these are just a few examples of what spiritual gifts could be. Maybe you can find every spiritual gift that exists listed in the Bible and that there are no others outside of those, but I personally believe that in each place spiritual gifts are talked about in the Bible, we're just given a few examples. So your spiritual gift could be one of these things that is listed here for us this morning, but it might be something else. For example, in the book of Exodus, we're told of a young man called Bezalel who was filled with the Spirit to have expertise in all kinds of crafts. And that sort of gifting isn't listed in the New Testament passages on spiritual gifts. And I recognize that the way that people interacted with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was a bit different. But I'm comfortable believing God still gives people in these sorts of ways today as well. And that stories like the one here in Exodus are glimpses of what was to come for all believers once Jesus had died and resurrected and were indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Maybe what I believe about that will change over time, but that's where I sit at the moment and I'm comfortable with that. And to be honest, it would be easier if I believed that all of the existing spiritual gifts are listed in Scripture, as I do find it quite difficult to know where to draw the line on what is a spiritual gift and what isn't. Because I think there are things that we are spiritually gifted in, but there might also be things that we just enjoy or are good at that aren't necessarily a spiritual gift. And you know, Paul, he says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit that distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. As I read that part of the passage and I studied it and read a few commentaries and word studies and stuff like that, what I was still left wondering is there a difference between gifts, service, and working? Or is Paul just describing the same things with different words? Or are they sort of like, you know, they overlap with each other like a Venn diagram or something like that? And to be honest, I just don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I personally don't think I can draw a clear line for you on that today. That doesn't mean that there isn't a line to draw. I just don't know where that is or what that is. But there are a couple of things I do think we can do that could be helpful in us working out what our spiritual gifts might be. A couple of weeks ago, as we were looking at Ephesians chapter 4 together, to get you thinking about what your spiritual gifts might be, I asked, what is something you do that when you do it, it feels like Christmas morning? Something that when you get the opportunity to do it, you're totally in your element. You're excited about it coming up. You may even wake up a little earlier than necessary on the days that you get to do it because you just can't wait. What is that thing? Last Sunday morning, Daryl Purdy spoke to us on how time can create opportunities to take new steps. And he shared with us how for him, he has learned that his role in God's kingdom is to make a difference in the quality of people's lives by helping them understand and practically apply the Word of God. And he had that written down on a piece of card to refer back to and to remind himself of. And man, when Daryl teaches, if you've ever heard him teach, it is so clear that that is like a Christmas morning moment for him. His passion and his love for teaching God's word in practical ways is so obvious. And if you didn't get to hear his message last week at our 10 a.m. service, I really encourage you to jump online and have a listen on our YouTube channel or on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, because it was truly incredible. But what's the thing that gets you excited like that? Maybe it's to create something that didn't exist before you made it. Maybe you're a designer, maybe you're a builder. What about teaching? Maybe you're a school teacher or a lecturer. Do you get excited about getting to fix something that is broken? You know, maybe you're a mechanic and that is your jam. You're just totally in your element when you're doing that. How about having people over in your home? Do you wake up stoked because you've got people coming for dinner that night? What about seeing people physically get better? Maybe you're a nurse, maybe you're a doctor, or maybe just when you pray for people, people often do recover or they heal or they get better. Maybe when someone says they need prayer, you wake up each day and the first thing you do is you pray for that person. Maybe when others see a bleak outcome, you have faith and hope for something more positive. Maybe you love to read and soak up knowledge. Maybe when something isn't quite right, you're able to discern what is really going on. Maybe you love to sing or play an instrument and lead others in worship. Maybe when others need advice, they often come to you and you just love to have the opportunity to humbly guide others. You may have even become a counselor in order to do that. Those things could all be spiritual gifts. And that's quite the diverse list of possibilities, right? And there's even more than that. But notice how to begin with, I listed things that often lead to specific career paths, but then I listed a few things that may not be to do with a specific career path. It might be something you often get to do outside of your work. You know, I think spiritual gifts can come in all sorts of different forms, and some of these suggestions could be one of yours. Maybe that's too broad. Maybe there's meant to be a more defined line, but at this point in my journey with Jesus, that's what I currently understand. You know, if I were to try to define what spiritual gifts are, and again, I want to make clear that I'm still working through this, so I might be wrong, but I would say that they're the things you feel like you were born to do. They're the things that you feel like you were born to do. Like I said earlier, when I have a conversation with people who are seeking, who have doubts, who are unsure about the Christian way of life, man, I feel like I'm made for those moments. And I think that's an indication that that might be a gift. Now, what spiritual gifts are for, we're going to talk about more next week, because I don't think their purpose is just to make you good at stuff, right? And if you're good at something, that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be your spiritual gift. But I think spiritual gifts often come in the form of something that you're good at, or you notice God regularly doing through you and through your life, or you just come alive when you get to be a part of that thing. You know, again, what's that thing that when you do it, it feels like Christmas morning? Or it might even be the idea that doing that thing feels like Christmas morning, because maybe you haven't done it yet. Maybe you haven't tried it. Maybe you've been too nervous to give it a go. But when you think about it, you think, man, I would love to be a part of that. I would love to do that. I would love to try that. I remember when I was a young boy, probably about 7 years old, I'd be sitting around the dinner table with my siblings, and me and my brother, we would be discussing how, you know, I would teach at the church and he would lead the music and he would lead the worship. And, you know, that's now what I do, and he's an incredibly talented musician. But there was this sort of 10-year gap between us talking about that and me actually giving that a try, and even some time in between where I just totally forgot that was something that was ever on my heart, something that I was considering or something that appealed to me. And I think that might have been a God-given gift or desire stirring within me from a young age. Now, again, I don't think everything that we like doing is a spiritual gift, right? Like, I love to eat Whittaker's chocolate, and waking up knowing there's some in the cupboard that I get to eat later that day can feel a bit like Christmas morning, but it's not a spiritual gift despite me being really good at that, right? Though things like spiritual gifts and hobbies might intersect from time to time, again, spiritual gifts have a purpose, which we'll talk more about next week, and that's what makes them different from just the stuff that you like. And I think that's the difference. That's the way that we can determine between spiritual gifts and just something that we enjoy. You know, does the thing I enjoy have purpose for God's kingdom? And does it feel like Christmas morning when I get to do that thing? And what I mean when I say does it have purpose for God's kingdom is, does it give me the opportunity to glorify God, unify the church, or share the good news of Jesus? Which again, we'll cover more next week. But like, I enjoy running, but I wouldn't say that's a spiritual gift for me. Right, because for me it doesn't have a purpose in God's kingdom. It's just the way that I stay fit and spend some time with God. But to somebody else, it might be. You know, for you, maybe God has really gifted you in a specific sport or area, and you use the limelight that is brought on you due to your skill to point it all back to Jesus and use your platform to share His good news. And so, what might be a gift for you might just be something I enjoy. But like a more nuanced example for myself is that I'm happy to jump up and lead worship, and I think there's purpose in God's kingdom for that, right? But I don't feel like it's Christmas morning when I do that. It's just an opportunity to serve and give back using an ability God has given me, but I don't see that as something that I just can't get enough of, that I want to do more and more of. I'm just happy to do it and serve in that way. And so I think it's important for us to consider both of those things. You know, does that thing I enjoy have purpose for God's kingdom? And does it feel like Christmas morning when I do that thing? Does this thing give me the opportunity to glorify God, unify the church, and share the good news of Jesus? And does it feel like I was made for those moments when I'm a part of them? If you can answer yes and yes, then that thing might be your spiritual gift. And again, that's just a theory that I've come up with, right? It's not foolproof. There's no scripture that says if you can answer those two questions with yes, then it's definitely a spiritual gift. That's just my best attempt at helping us understand them. But what if you're sitting there and you're thinking, Isaac, I don't have a thing. I don't have a thing. There's nothing that I have in mind. I don't think that I'm good at anything. Well, you're in good company. You're in good company. Because throughout my high school years, probably the thing I prayed the most, the thing I talked to God about the most, is, God, why didn't you make me good at anything? Why didn't you make me good at anything? Like, I just felt like I was okay at most things, right? But didn't stand out. Like, I was sort of funny, but not as funny as the funniest guys in my class. I was okay at sports, but I wasn't impressive by any means. I was doing fine in my classes, but not excelling in any particular area. I was okay at music. I enjoy being creative. I didn't think I was as interesting or as good looking as a lot of the other guys in my group. I just felt like I was an all-around just fine guy, you know? Just fine. Like, I had friends and I was doing fine, but I didn't feel like I really stood out in any particular way. And I just remember talking to God and saying, you know, he's funny and such is good at that, but what is my thing? What is my thing, God? What have you given me? I don't feel like you've given me anything. Why not? And what I would end up doing is acting out and getting myself into trouble, because then maybe that could be my thing, right? You know, hey, you should ask Isaac. He'll probably do it. He's into doing stuff like that. But I remember just that sort of question really weighing me down. And it wasn't until I got into ministry that I realized being okay at most things could also be a gift. Because when you're trying to lead a diverse group of people, if you can be all things to all people, like Paul talks about and suggests, then that could be a gift. It could be a gift. It's helpful to be able to connect with a bunch of different people on a bunch of different things in a bunch of different areas. And so what I thought was a disadvantage through high school became an advantage, right? And then I stepped into ministry and I rediscovered this heart that I had for teaching when I was younger that had really been there all along. And now there's these further developments of a heart for people more on the edge, which is probably all connected to how I felt about myself in high school. So I'm doing some self-therapy right now as I'm talking to you from the stage. But I say that to say, not knowing what you're good at isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it might be a part of your strength. It might be a part of your gifting. Or for whatever reason, God hasn't revealed what your gifting is yet, and that's okay. That's okay. I'm 28, and it feels like he's still developing and revealing gifts to me, so that revelation might come with time. Or the fact that you understand and can relate to people in lots of different spaces, that might be a gift in itself. And I think that's one of the other things that we need to keep in mind when it comes to spiritual gifts. Sometimes, you know, I think when we become a follower of Jesus, our spiritual gift is the Holy Spirit enhancing or unlocking something that has always been there. Almost like a seed finally blooming that God planted within us from the day that he made us. But also sometimes I think it can be the Holy Spirit giving us a gift for a specific time or a specific place for a specific purpose. And we see that, right? In verse 11 it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he determines. It's up to the Holy Spirit what they are, when we receive them, and why he gives them to us. But sometimes maybe he has already given them to us, wants to develop something that he placed in you long ago. And for whatever reason, maybe it's due to your theological background or confusion around spiritual gifts, you haven't taken the opportunity to consider what yours might be, that he may have already given you gifts. And so I think it's worth considering, you know, what is that thing that I do when I do it? It feels like Christmas morning, or when I think about doing it, it feels like it would be like a Christmas morning thing. And does it have purpose in God's kingdom? In asking that question, or those questions, might begin to direct you towards what your spiritual gifts might be. Again, they're not bulletproof questions. I can't promise that asking those questions will definitely reveal what your gifting is. It's all up to the Holy Spirit. He decides, not my questions. But I think these questions can be helpful. And hey, another tool that you can try to help you figure out what your giftings are is a test called the Spiritual Gifts Test, which can be found at spiritualgiftstest.com. It's totally free and asks you a bunch of questions and then ranks your strengths in relation to the gifts that are listed in the New Testament. And so again, it's just based on the ones that we have in Scripture, and it doesn't go beyond that. And they have a great disclaimer that's worth reading before you take the test, so I encourage you to read that. But jump on and give that a go and see if that's helpful for you in figuring that out. I personally found it valuable. There was something in my top three that I hadn't recognized being there, but as I thought about it, I thought, yeah, I guess that is important to me. I guess that is something that a lot of the choices I make or the convictions I have are centered around. So go check that out. Check out spiritualgifts.com and see if that is helpful to you. You may even want to do that as a connect group and discuss your results together. And if you aren't a part of a connect group, then this morning is the perfect morning to do that, right? All of our leaders are going to be out there in the tunnel afterwards. They'd love to meet you, invite you along. And so you could join with them and maybe go through this test together. But hopefully this series over the next 8 weeks will also bring about some clarity as to what spiritual gifts are, what they are for, how we use them, and what yours might be. I think this series is going to challenge us. It's going to challenge us. There's going to be some tricky stuff to tackle. But hopefully, as we think about what our next steps are this year, this series will help us grow your confidence in the ways God has gifted you, and that in turn, Crossroads would look more and more like the church God desires it to be. And what that looks like, we give entirely into God's hands. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see what God might develop in your life. I'm excited to see what He continues to develop in mine and where He leads us together as a church community. I'm excited to see where God leads us in this process as a church. And I think it's so beautiful to imagine each of us considering what our spiritual gifts are as we consider what our next steps might be and how many possibilities that would open up for us as followers of Jesus. It's so cool to envision all the people who call Crossroads home asking those questions, you know, what are my spiritual gifts and what is my next step? And quite possibly all coming away with 900 or so different unique and specific calls on our lives from God. And when we all come together, each taking a unique step or stepping into our giftings, that's powerful. And I think that would be the sign of a pretty healthy church. And so as we kick into this new series, let's just pray and give this all into God's hands. Let's just pray and watch God work and move and speak into our lives through His Word in this series and through His Spirit who is with us. Let's hand this all over to the one and same Spirit who distributes these gifts and let Him do as He sees fit. Let's let Him develop what maybe He's already planted in your life, or gift us with something for a specific purpose or a specific time. Just however the Holy Spirit wants to use us and the gifts He has given us, let's leave that in His hands. So let's pray. Lord, we're so, so grateful that not only when You died for us, that granted us salvation, Lord, that gave us the ability to spend eternity with You and have a relationship with You. And not only have You given us Your Word so we can get to know You and get to know what You have been up to through the lives of Your people, but You also gifted us with Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank You that You are with us now. Thank You that You want to guide us through our lives, that You want to walk alongside us, that You want to prompt us when there's something we should be thinking about, that You want to step in when maybe we need to go a different direction, or that You want to fill in a gap when we just don't have the capacity or the ability to live how You call us to live in a moment. We're so grateful that You are with us and that You are for us. And thank You, Lord, that You go even beyond that and You gift us. You gift us in ways to glorify You, to unify with each other, Lord, and share Your good news. And Lord, we just want to think about what those things might be, because we want to do all three of those things, Lord. We want to glorify You, Lord. We want to be united. We want to be unified. And we want to share Your good news. And so, Lord, I just pray now as we ask these questions. Maybe some people in this room are pretty sure in how God has gifted them, but maybe some people don't know at this point, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that You would reveal that in Your timing. That if there's something You've already gifted us in and we haven't taken the time to notice it or realize it, that You would just make it clear to us that it is a gift that You want to use, Lord. Or if we're not sure, that we would just be able to trust You that in whatever timing, in a specific place or for a specific purpose, You will gift us with what You need to gift us with so that we can do those things, so we can glorify You, be unified, and share Your good news. But we give that into Your hands, Lord. We give that into your hands. I pray, Lord, through this series that we wouldn't try to construct a theology that is just what we want, Lord, but we would just leave that to you to lead us and guide us in what is your truth. And we pray, Lord, that ultimately Crossroads will look more and more like the church you want it to be. Not what we have in mind, not what we want it to look like, but what you want it to look like. That our church, Lord, would be a beautiful glimpse of what it looks like to be before your throne, to be with you in heaven, Lord. And so we pray for that, Lord. And I just pray as we leave this place this morning, Lord, that, yeah, you would just be revealing to us what our next step is, what our gifts are, and that they would all be used for your glory. Thank you for this opportunity to get into your word this morning, Lord. Thank you that we have the example of other people that might have the exact same sort of questions we did, Lord, that we can look at the example of the Corinthians and we can learn from them and have more confidence in you and how you've gifted us and who you want us to be. So thank you for being with us this morning, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit being present with us. I pray that you continue to lead us through this journey and lead us through this series, Lord, and that your kingdom would be better for it. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Church podcast. If you'd like any more information on our church, how to give, or after this message you'd like to talk to someone, you can find everything you'll need to know on our website, crossroads.co.nz. Make sure you subscribe to this channel to keep up to date with new content. But thanks again, and we'll catch you soon.